Good morning. Welcome to our church. Just to tell you that coffee will be served after the service. Please stay. We want to say thank you to Ken and Christine this morning as they lead our service. Just to remind you that Anne is collecting old mobile phones for the mayor's charity, so could you bring them in? It doesn't matter if they're, you know, ancient, out of the ark, so just any old mobile phones that you don't need. Just to say that there's book club on Tuesday from 7:30 at Katie Frost's, and all are welcome. There is a lunchtime recital this coming Thursday at 12:30. There are posters in the foyer and the Mayo Hall giving details. Another reminder, get your elders' election papers in if you haven't done it, because it closes next week and you do want some nice elders, so, you know, get it in. Just to say that Leslie is away for 2 weeks. She's looking after Alice and cooing over her new baby grandson. So she won't be here this week or next week. And lastly, we are delighted to have Sulhi back in the country. Sadly, it is only for a short time. We're just hoping that she could have come back, but we have a gift for her so that she will remember us. And Ken is going to give it to you.
Hi, Sulhi. Lovely to see you. This is a gift with our love, and because although you were with us for too few years, but you left a number of legacies with us. So we enjoy the band, which you encouraged and got going most Sundays, and they lead worship at the 11:30 service, which is lovely. We remember the amazing recitals that you did individually here, and we thank you also for being an elder of the church. And just to say, we miss you enormously, and we wish you every happiness in as you stay in Korea and develop your new career. So, can I hand that over?
Thank you very much for all your help whilst I stay here. It was really an honor to be in a member of this church. I think I developed my belief and trust in God. But somehow, being in Korea, it's not easy, just busy and yeah, with your prayer, I think I can survive somehow. Yeah, I was trained as a barista, so I worked in a cafe for a while, and then nowadays I'm teaching the piano, and then I found a church to be able to play the piano for the service. So yeah, I might just start from there and to develop my musical skills again. Thanks so much for your love and bless as well. Thank you.
Today in our worship, we reflect on our economic system and what the Bible says about poverty and the gap between rich and poor. And we celebrate that through Christ, we are called to share good news with the poor and become partners of hope and transformation. And we will say together the psalm. Teach me, Lord, the meaning of your laws, and I will obey them at all times. Explain your law to me, and I will obey it. I will keep it with all my heart. Keep me obedient to your commandments, because in them I find happiness. Give me the desire to obey your laws rather than to get rich. Keep me from paying attention to what is worthless. Be good to me as you have promised. Keep your promise to me, your servant, the promise you make to those who obey you. Save me from the insults I fear. How wonderful are your judgments. I want to obey your commands. Give me new life, for you are righteous. And we'll now sing, Thou Art the Way to Thee Alone, number 554. Let us pray. Dear Lord, today we give thanks for our many blessings as we pray for those in need. We give thanks for our family and friends as we pray for those who are lonely. We give thanks for our freedoms as we pray for those who are oppressed. We give thanks for our health as we pray for those who are ill. We give thanks for our comfort and prosperity as we share our blessings with others. On this Sabbath day, may the love of God enfold us, the peace of God dwell within us, and the joy of God uplift us. We'll now pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Oh, that's a good chair. You're right. Right, look at this. What's this? What is it? The grown-ups know. Oh, it's a lovely plant, isn't it? I'm really pleased with it. It's really beautiful. I got it. Somebody gave it to me. It's a peace lily, actually. So sometimes when I'm feeling a bit cross, I look at the peace lily and think, maybe I should be a bit more peaceful. So do you know how this plant started life? How did it start? Was it always like that? No.
It was a seed.
That's good. So how did that seed grow into the plant? What does it need? You think of something that the seed needs to grow. Anybody? Any ideas? What does it do?
Water, sun, nutrients.
Water, sun, and nutrients. Whoa, that's pretty cool, isn't it? So water, sunshine. Where does it grow? Does it need somewhere?
Dirt.
In the dirt, yeah, in the ground, exactly. So anyway, so this plant has had some water, so I can just leave it now, can't I? Because it's brilliant. It looks absolutely fantastic, so I can just leave it now and go away. And in 3 weeks' time, it's going to look just like that, isn't it? No? Why? Why?
It will lose all the water.
Oh, so I have to water it, do I? What else? Shall I leave it in a dark cupboard? Will it be? It'll just look like the same, won't it? If I leave it in a dark cupboard? No?
What do I need to do?
Put it in the sun.
Oh, so I've got to put it in the sunshine and water it. Well, that's quite hard, isn't it? So I can't just leave it. I have to actually do something with it. Water it. Oh, okay. And talk to it. Okay. Do I look like Prince Charles? Anyway. Okay, so I have to help this plant to stay healthy and keep growing. So we're going to talk today about other things that have grown or are growing and we still need to look after them.
We'll continue our worship by singing "A Stranger Once Did Bless the Earth," number 198. Our first reading is Leviticus 9, verses 1 to 2 and 9 to 18, and Samuel Kang will read it for us.
Today's reading comes from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 to 2 and 9 to 18. The Lord told Moses to say to the community of Israel, "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. When you harvest your fields, do not cut the corn at the edges of the fields, and do not go back to cut the ears of corn that were left. Do not go back through your vineyard to gather the grapes that were missed, or to pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for poor people and foreigners. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal or cheat or lie. Do not make a promise in my name if you do not intend to keep it. That brings disgrace on my name. I am the Lord your God. Do not take advantage of anyone or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of someone you have hired, not even for one night. Do not curse a deaf man or put something in front of a blind so as to make him stumble over it. Obey me. I am the Lord your God. Be honest and just when you make decisions in legal cases. Do not show favoritism to the poor or fear the rich. Do not spread lies about anyone. And when someone is on trial for his life, speak out if your testimony can help him. I am the Lord. Do not bear a grudge against anyone, but settle your differences with him, so that you will not commit a sin because of him. Do not take revenge on anyone or continue to hate him, but love your neighbor as you love yourself. I am the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, and Sukyo Kang will read it for us.
Second reading comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes as King, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his royal throne. And the people of all nations will be gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people at his right and the others at his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, "Come, you that are blessed by my father, come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you received me in your homes. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. In prison and you visited me." The righteous will then answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these followers of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Away from me, you that are under God's cause, away to the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devils and his angels. I was hungry, but you would not feed me, thirsty, but you would not give me a drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me in your homes. Naked, but you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you would not take care of me." Then they will answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and we would not help you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you refuse to help one of these least important ones, you refuse to help me. This then will be sent off to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life." Amen.
In his gospel, John records these words of Jesus. "I am telling you the truth. I am the gate. Whoever comes in by me will be saved. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come in order that you might have life, life in all its fullness." Christianity is about delivering and celebrating a good life for all people. The implication of Jesus' words is that we do not live in a neutral environment. There are destructive forces at work in society which, like the thief in Jesus' words, will apportion the resources of the earth for some people and take away the possibility of an abundant life from everybody else. We know, for example, that climate change is threatening the future of the whole world. Yet the most powerful leaders of the world put short-term interests ahead of our long-term survival. And the difference between the wealthy nations and the poverty of nations on their borders has now become clear. Across the world, nations try desperately to keep out people who are equally desperate to get in. We cannot forget these bigger issues. But today, I want to talk about our own country. We are the second most unequal country in Europe. Only Lithuania is worse. In the UK, the top 10% have very high incomes. Yet in 2020, out of 60 million people in our country, over 14 million are in poverty. Of these, 8 million are working age adults, 4 million are children, and nearly 2 million are pensioners. 8 million people who are at work live in poverty. A recent Joseph Rowntree Foundation report on poverty in the UK said this: living in poverty affects every aspect of people's lives. People on lower incomes have poorer physical health and are more likely to experience mental illness. Over a quarter of the people in the poorest fifth of the population suffer from depression or anxiety. The pressures of living in poverty cause considerable stress, which are often linked to poor mental health, as well as strained relationships within families. The long-term effects of poverty culminate in people in deprived areas having significantly lower life expectancy than those in better-off places. How did this happen in our country? Our economy is the fifth largest in the world. And in any case, why should we bother to think about it when we are actually trying to concentrate on worshipping God? The answer is that our call as Christians is to enable all people to receive and celebrate Christ's abundant life. For us, the worship of God is more than a personal thing. It may be about the hope of being with God when we die, but it is also about something we experience here and now. It may be about the deliverance from personal guilt, but it is also about deliverance from the forces which tyrannize human life and oppressive political economic conditions. It may be about the liberation of individuals from a corrupt life, but it is also about the creation of an alternative way in contrast to the world, and a means of making society more like the kingdom of God. These are not alternatives for us. Christian life means both secular fulfillment and personal salvation. If we read the words of Leviticus about the duty of the people of God to care for the poor and the alien, and the fury of the prophet Amos about poverty in Israel, there can be no doubt that God requires us to be concerned about social justice. Amos wrote, "The people of Israel have sinned again and again, and I will certainly punish them. They sell into slavery honest people who cannot pay their debts. They trample down the weak and helpless, and they push poor people out of the way." That is why today I wanted to talk about poverty in response to the call of Church Action on Poverty to support their campaign, which is called Act Now to End UK Hunger. We need to be aware of the impact of poverty in our country on ourselves and on all the people we know. It won't do to say that poverty in the UK is nothing to do with us, that we are not responsible. As citizens, we are caught up in a network of relationships with our local community and with national life, and in each of those areas there are corporate decisions to which we are inextricably bound. Some of these decisions are just, others are patently unfair. For example, government has decided in our name that people transferred to the new unified benefit must wait 5 weeks without receiving any income. The Roundtree report summarised solutions to the poverty problems in this way. As a society, we can choose to reduce the amount of people who swept into poverty. We can reduce costs for people who rent. We can strengthen the support offered by our social security system, and we can provide better opportunities for paid employment. And I want to comment on these three areas. First then, housing costs. A house bought in the inner city of London for about £6,000 in 1967 now costs £1 million. Land values have increased so that many people are technical millionaires. The benefit of the unearned increase goes to individuals, not societies at large. It makes it impossible for young people to find a home and start family life because they can now neither buy nor rent. Meanwhile, the supply of affordable homes for rent has reduced by 2 million since the 1980s. Many people now spend over half of what they earn on rent. They may also have to commute from work from a distance. It takes hours, and it reduces their income still further. There is a desperate need for more low-cost homes for rent, but it has very low government priority. We need to change that. Second, the social security system. We used to think that social security was a safety net, which in the last resort would protect people. This is no longer the case. 1.5 million people were living in destitution at some point in 2017. Destitution means that they have no money at all. They included 365,000 children. In the last 6 years, the National Audit Office recorded 69 people who took their own lives in circumstances where difficulties with the Department of Work and Pensions played a role. The former MP Frank Field said, "This report presents a catastrophic situation for vulnerable claimants and their families. We need a full investigation and changes to be made so that nobody is ever put into that situation again." And the third point is about low pay. UK employment is at a record high, but this has not delivered lower poverty. Millions of people are in poor quality jobs with no scope for progression. People feel pressured to stay in zero contracts and tolerate oppressive management for fear that of official reaction if they leave and find themselves unemployed. Workers in some industries suffer particularly badly. Examples are hotels and restaurants, farming, office workers, and shop workers. Investors are benefiting from profit and dividends, but the cost is paid in terms of personal deprivation. Neil Cooper, who is the director of Church Action on Poverty, talks about the need for Christians always to be driven by a vision of a better future, and for his program to shine light on the path which gets us there. He agrees that social campaigning can take years to get results, but says that when change happens, it can immediately have a huge impact on hundreds of thousands of people on low incomes. And Church Action's ambition is to remove the need for food banks, to end in-work poverty, and to design a welfare system which is safe and enables everyone to achieve their potential. What can we do? We can support the food bank. Its website, Kingston Food Bank, lists what they need week on week, and we can deliver contributions here at KURC. We can support ActionAid's fund to end period poverty for young women currently unable to pay for their own sanitary needs. MPs and ministers receive many complaints, but comparatively few letters about social issues. So individual letters on those questions can be influential. For example, where people are neglected or bullied by officials and need someone to support them. We can press Kingston Council to negotiate more social housing units with all developers who are seeking planning permission. And all these things we can do in the name of Jesus, so that we help to deliver to all people the abundant life that he was promising.
We'll now sing For the Fruits of All Creation, number 42. Let us pray. When we hear of cuts in jobs and services, rising prices, and increasing unemployment, where the news is of hardship and recession, God of the fire and flame, hear the cry of your people and kindle our longing for justice. where people are imprisoned by debt, by poor housing and run-down neighbourhoods, where they are caught in the vicious cycle of poverty. God of the fire and flame, hear the cry of your people and kindle our longing for justice. Where people are worn down by ill health, ground down by lack of food and warmth, where vision and hope are lost in the struggle for survival. God of the fire and flame, hear the cry of your people and kindle our longing for justice. In the daily abuse from families and neighbours, where communities become no-go areas of desolation, where division and exploitation oppress the poor. God of the fire and flame, hear the cry of your people and kindle our longing for justice. When we long for transformation, when we are called into partnership for change, when we take the risk of prophetic action, God of the fire and flame, we hear the cry of your people, and our hope is kindled into working with you for justice. Amen. We'll continue our service by making our gifts for the work of God. We recognize and bless the gifts brought to this table and those which wing their way electronically from our banks to the church's account. Amen. Dear Lord, to you again our gifts we bring. Hymn number 436. Go in peace, love and serve the Lord.